Strasbourg met a peasant. So this fellow met a peasant. God give you a good day, my friend, he greeted him. The peasant answered briskly, I thank God I never have a bad day. Toller, astonished, kept silent for a moment. Toller then added, God give you a happy life, my friend. The peasant replied composedly, I thank God I am never unhappy. Never unhappy, cried Toller, bewildered. What do you mean? Well, came the reply, when it is sunshine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I am hungry, I thank God. And since God's will is my will, and whatever pleases God pleases me, why should I say that I am unhappy when I am not? Toller looked upon him with awe. Who are you? He asks. I am a king, said the peasant. A king? Toller asked. Where's your kingdom? The peasant smiled and whispered softly, in my heart. Now, I don't know about you, but this guy seemed to have a really good attitude about life. And I believe it stemmed from him being thankful. Tonight, we're going to talk about be thankful. And this is not random. This is not coming out of, like, where did that? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Tonight, be thankful. Be thankful. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, Tim, did you get the verses? He's working hard up there. I see he's sweating from here. I can tell it. But you probably need your Bibles tonight. But I'll bet you, Tim, he's getting it, man. He really is. He said, I think I do this and this and this. He's doing great. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Remember this chapter. I'm not going to go through all the chapter. We'd be here a good while. But remember the first verses of the chapter mainly talked about you're not what you used to be. That was the first verses of the chapter. You're not what you used to be. You've been changed when you were saved was basically the whole idea. So don't act like the world. Don't act like you were before you're saved because you're different. And then it goes on and it talks about put on these things. And remember, that's where Bubba comes in. And Bubba's still up here waiting patiently to be dismissed. But he's up here. And we talked about all the things we're supposed to put on, those eight things. Every day when we get up, we're supposed to put on. And then it goes beyond that. And verse 15 is where we looked at last week. Because I'm not going to just drop it. I think we'll go through at least verse 17 of this chapter because there's so much in it. And last week we talked about peace. Remember peace? How peace is an umpire or referee of our mind. And if we let peace rule in our hearts and minds, we can face life with a calmness. But if we let all the other things get in there and make us worried and nervous and stressed and anxious, guess what? It's not going to be pretty. But if you let the peace of God, and that's what it says, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And so we're supposed to be peaceful in our hearts and minds. And if we couldn't do it, God wouldn't tell us to do it. We talked about it's a fruit of the Spirit, right? And that same peace is supposed to be part of the local church. If we have peace as individuals in our hearts and minds, we can bring that to the church. And we as a church body can be at peace or calm regardless of what might happen, right? Because that's what it's talking about, to the which also you are called in one body. But here it is, four words. You ready? Four words. It says, and be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. We're going to talk about that tonight, several different points about it. Look at several different verses. If you have your Bibles, open up. If not, just listen up good. First of all, we're going to look at the connection between peace and being thankful. We're going to look at the connection between peace, having peace in our hearts and minds, and being thankful. Now, in that verse in chapter 3 of verse 15, it says, talks about the peace of God ruling in your hearts. And then almost it seems almost at random, it says, and be ye thankful. And then it goes in verse 16 to another topic about the Word of God. So, I'm not positive that this is intended here, I'll be honest with you. But to me, it almost seemed like there's a link between the peace of God, ruling, umpiring, refereeing in your heart, and being thankful. Because let me tell you, if we're unthankful, guess what? Nothing's right. Nothing's good. You know, everything about life, everything is bad. Every food we try to eat, that tastes terrible. That tastes horrible. That's dry, or that's overcooked, or that's burnt. You know, we go and nothing ever serves us when we go out and, you know, well, go to the bank and say, well, give me, well, you're taking way awful too long. You know, it's what, goodness gracious, what's wrong? Nothing suits us because we're not thankful. But if we go through life, right, and try to be thankful, not just on the outside, but on the inside, don't you think it would spill over into this area of letting peace and calmness rule in your hearts and minds? So I would say, I believe there's a connection there, and I don't think it's by accident that it says those four last words in that verse, and be ye thankful. So if you want to have peace in your heart and life, we talked about that at length last week. I'll not do that again. But I believe an element of that is being thankful. You know, people that are thankful are nice people to be around. I mean, because typically if you're around someone who's thankful, they have a sweetness about them. And regardless of, as the story about the peasant, whether he has little or whether he has nothing or a lot, you know, he's still thankful. Whether it's sunshiny, I'm going to be thankful. Whether it's raining, I'm going to be thankful. So there seems to be a connection between having peace in your heart and life and being thankful. So that's point number one. Point number two, our prayers should include our thankfulness. Our prayers should include our thankfulness. Philippians chapter 4, I'll go ahead and turn there. So if you want to turn there, feel free. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7, very well-known verses, but it basically tells us that our prayer should include thankfulness. Now, you say, what about the timing of this? You're in October. Now, you know my timing is perfect, right? It's like, well, Thanksgiving is in November, preacher, so you're still in October, so why are you talking about Thanksgiving? All I can plead is God just wants us to talk about it tonight. You'll hear more about Thanksgiving and being thankful later as well. But the Bible has quite a bit to say about it. Point number one, the connection between peace and being thankful. I believe there is a connection. Number two, our prayers should include our thankfulness. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be careful for nothing. In other words, do not worry about anything, right? Don't stress out over anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, there it is, with thanksgiving. So, and I shared this with you, I believe, last week or the week before. You know, when I have those moments that I'm like, it's kind of bothering me. That kind of concerning me a lot. And I feel that worry creeping up on me a little bit. I try to take these verses literal, which I think we can. And I try to go to God and say, Lord, I'm coming to you in prayer. I'm going to pray specific. Lord, help me. Take away that thing that's making me stress a bit or worry a bit or be overly concerned about. Just take it away. And Lord, by the way, thank you for all the good things that you do. And maybe even say thank you about that situation, about the good things about a situation that may be bothering us a little bit. And say, well, I thank you that it's not worse. I thank you that, you know, you're in control. I thank you that you're God of the universe. And you just start thanking God. And then it says, let your requests be made known unto God. So then you just say, okay, Lord, this is specifically what I'd like for you to do. And what does it say happens after that? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't you think our prayers ought to include our thankfulness? Now that's even when we're starting to stress out. You know, go to God, specifically bring it to God and say, God, but I want to thank you. I mean, is there ever a time that we don't have something to be thankful for? I mean, honestly, if tomorrow we get bad news, you know, we go to the doctor, we get some sort of scan, and they come back and say, there is an inoperable tumor in your brain, or something like that. And we know it's cancerous, and I know your days are numbered. I mean, even that would really seem to be devastating news, and I'm sure it is, and I know some of you have heard similar news to that. But if you know Jesus, You can still say, I thank you that I'm saved. I thank you that I know where I'm going. I thank you that you let me live the years that I've lived. I thank you for my family. I mean, there's always something. It may not seem like it. It really, sometimes, you know, it seems like the problem is like right here. But when you just move that back a little bit, you can think, you know, there really still are a lot of things I can thank God for. And our prayers should include our thankfulness. It seems to me, that it's very natural for me when I go to prayer to ask God for everything I want and take very little time to thank him for all the things that he is and all the things that he's done. You know, I do it, but it seems like very rarely. I occasionally do it. Need to do it again. It's been a while, I think. Just to get on your knees and thank God for all of the things in life that are good. Like I said, our human nature is that, God, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And by the way, I'd really like to have this. And, you know, we just start giving out. But it really puts things in perspective if we pray with thanksgiving. Y'all with me on that? Some of you are not sure. You think that's a good thing? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Now, you're in the book of Colossians already. So just go a little bit further back in the book, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Listen to what that says. And under the point, our prayer should include our thankfulness. It says, continue in prayer. That's pretty good exhortation, don't you think? Keep on praying. Keep on praying. You say, preacher, I've prayed for the same thing for so many years, and God hasn't answered yes. Just keep on praying. You don't know how close you might be to getting a yes answer. So continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So be alert as you pray. Watch, look for God to answer. And be thankful. Isn't that what it says? And watching the same with thanksgiving. So, I mean, for every prayer that's not answered, don't you think you could come up with about five that have been answered? They're answered. All of them are answered. Don't get me wrong. But for the one that's not been answered yes yet, don't you have probably a bunch of others that through the years or maybe in the last year or maybe the last month, maybe in the last week that God answered? It's amazing to me how many things we pray about that God answers that we forget to thank him for it. I mean, I'm thinking like Sunday, we said, okay, our boys are traveling back to North Carolina. Now, it's crazy traffic between here and North Carolina. Fortunately, they said it was less this Sunday. But we've been on that road, and it is crazy traffic. And even if it's not crazy traffic, it only takes one goofball driver, one crazy driver. And I said, y'all be sure to pray for that. They made it back. Check. Answered yes. God said yes to that. Right? And I know John's brother, Selby, the good-looking one. I'm totally kidding you, John. You're a good-looking fellow. I'm just kidding you. But, you know, he was here Sunday, and then he was going to go back Monday. And then he had a flare, his feet were swollen, and he didn't take his fluid pill as he should or something for a little bit. But you know, okay, Lord, just to help the swelling to go down, help him to get back. And guess what? They got back home, right? Got back home safely. So if you prayed about that, check. So seriously, I mean, did we pray for Fall Festival? And we had a great turnout. We know the word went out. We had a good time together. So if we prayed for that, check. God answered that prayer, right? So I'm just simply saying there's so many things. Even on Sunday morning, we mention. On Wednesday night, we mention. And God answers it. And we get so busy, we sometimes forget. But as we pray, the point is, our prayers should include our thankfulness. You know, really, I think if we start to keep in track of this the way that we probably should with a prayer journal, a whole lot of our prayer time would be simply, and I thank you, God, that you answered that. Now, it took a few months. I mean, it didn't take you that long to do it, but you chose not to do it for a few months. So check. Thank you, Lord. And for this one, oh, check. You answered that one, and you answered that one, yes, and you answered that one, yes. So pray with thanksgiving. Do your prayers include, and thank you, Lord, and then fill in the blank? If they don't, they should. The connection between peace and being thankful, if we're thankful, we're much more likely to have a peace in our heart and life. That calmness over us. Second, our prayers should include our thankfulness. Number three, our day should be filled with thanks. Our day should be filled with thanks. So not only does it affect peace, not only should it be part of our prayers, our whole day should be filled with thanks. Colossians chapter 3. Now, you don't have to go too far. It's just further down in the same chapter. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What? What are you supposed to be doing while you do that? Giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I don't think I'm reading too much into this, because it says, whatever you do. So every word you say, do it in the name of Jesus. Every action that you do, do it in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of things you can't do in the name of Jesus. So that's kind of on the noun side. I mean, I'm not going to break out a beer and start drinking. I'm drinking this beer. No, you can't do that. And you know you can't do that. Well, I'm going to say a cuss word in the name of... No, I can't do that, can I? I mean, in the character according to Jesus. So do it all for Jesus and in the name of Jesus. And it seems like to me that if everything we do is supposed to be bathed in the name and character of Jesus... And then it says, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It would seem logical to me that our whole day ought to be filled with thanks. Does that make sense? That as we do those words, say those words and do those deeds in the name of Jesus, we're supposed to give thanks. So all day long, give thanks. You know, we talk about quite often an attitude of prayer, which is wonderful. Right? We're supposed to have an attitude of prayer all the time. Pray without ceasing and continue in prayer, as we looked at a moment ago. But you know, we ought to also, in that attitude of prayer, that constant attitude of prayer, that continuing in prayer, it ought to be, and thank you, Lord, for that beautiful, beautiful star that I see in the sky. And I thank you, Lord, for that beautiful foliage over there. Now, it's a little bit past peak in our area. But I thank you for that tree, for that beautiful tree, that color of that tree. And then you go home, and as imperfect as your family is, and as imperfect as some of your husbands are, right, Amy? You still can look at them every once in a while and say, I thank you that I got someone that cares about me and loves me and is with me in my golden rocking chair days. Now, I'm not throwing that in someone's face who have lost your loved one, but I'm just saying we just need to be thankful, right? And we're in here. I don't think there's any holes in that roof. It's not raining outside either, by the way. But if it was, and I think those seats, I've not sat in them a whole lot. Believe me, I haven't sat in them a whole lot. But they look fairly comfortable, right? Fairly comfortable. And, you know, you all seem to be dressed pretty well. I don't see any holes in any of y'all's clothes. Now, I won't check your socks. They might have a hole in them here or there. But really, and to get here tonight, you know, if you needed to clean up, or this morning, you took a shower, right? And I'll bet you that shower was warm, wasn't it? And it's been getting pretty old at night. I bet you got a blanket on your bed, don't you? I bet you most of you have furnaces in your house that keep up and keep it nice and toasty in there, right? And I'll bet you went to your refrigerator and opened the door up and got something to eat out of that refrigerator today, right? So do you see my point? And most of us got in cars that's got pretty good heaters in it and pretty good AC in it. You can just, I'm telling you, we can be thankful every single moment of every single day. Whether we're actually saying, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, at least on the inside, our hearts ought to be. As every word is said, every deed is done, we ought to be thankful to the Lord. Do you think the Lord ever gets tired of hearing us say thank you, or ever gets tired of us have an attitude of thankfulness? I don't think so. Be thankful. Be thankful is what we're talking about tonight. It's taken from those four words in verse 15, and be ye thankful. the connection between peace and being thankful, we have a much more likelihood of having peace in our hearts and lives if we are thankful. Our prayers should include our thankfulness. If they don't, throw that in there more. Third, our day should be filled with thanks. Everything we do in the name of the Lord, everything we say in the name of the Lord, let's be thankful. Number four, we should be known for our thankfulness. We should be known for our thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at four verses there. We should be known for our thankfulness. You know, people are known for a lot of things. Some of it good, some of it not so good. I don't know. I'm just trying to think. You know, some people are known for being argumentative. Some people are known for being know-it-alls. Some people are known for, I mean, fill in the blank, right? They're known for being big shots. They're known for being whatever you want to put in there. A lot of things that are not becoming, people are known for. Do y'all agree with that? I mean, if I knew someone in common, I could just say, okay, what about this person? And automatically something pops in your brain about them, right? I think that's kind of the way my brain works. You know, certain people that you mention, and I feel, you know, it's kind of, maybe I'm crazy, but sometimes if you mention certain people, it's kind of like, you know, you just kind of, you know, you won't say anything, and you're not being mean, and you're not being unchristian, but by your past experience, it's kind of like, Yeah, I know them. You know, that's probably as far as we ought to say it right there. I know them. And then some people you mention, it's kind of like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling, if you will, about that person. Why? Because they're pleasant and they're good people, right? And they've treated you well. So you're like, yeah. Do you know what? When I mention your name or when my name is mentioned, do you know something we ought to be known for is our thankfulness? Seriously, now that impacts, as we've already talked about, our peace and our calmness and our demeanor and everything. You show me someone who's crotchety, you show me someone who's critical and negative, and I'll show you someone who's not very thankful. Amen. Because you really can't have both of them. Seriously, I believe that. You cannot be a truly thankful person and be a negative Debbie Downer. And I'm not talking about Debbie Huff. I've told her, when I've said it before, I said, Debbie, I'm not talking about you. You're one of the most upbeat people I know. So no, I'm not talking about you. But do you know the expression, Debbie Downer? You can't. Because if you're thankful and truly thankful and not just giving lip service because that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, truly thankful here and here and here. You're not going to be hard to live with. You're not going to be hard to tolerate. You're not going to have people thinking of you in a negative way. We should be known for our thankfulness. Listen to this. Be ye therefore followers of God, Ephesians 5:1, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So that's great, right? As dear children, follow God. Walk in love because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Then it says, verse 14, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And that's a Christian. Anytime you see saints, it's talking about Christians. You say, well, the church didn't bestow sainthood upon me. The church doesn't have to bestow sainthood on you because Christ bestowed sainthood on you when you got saved. He set you apart. Verse 4, it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And if you look back, it says, you know, these things, fornication, uncleanness, let it not be once named among you. Let it not be said, well, yeah, you know, so-and-so is committing fornication. Yeah, so-and-so, he told a dirty joke. You know, someone over there, just everything in his life is unclean. It shouldn't be named among us. But then it says, what should we be known for? And it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, not good, not appropriate, but rather we should be known for being thankful. Wow. You know, that'd be a good thing to be remembered by. Do y'all agree with that? We should be known for our thankfulness, not those other things. You know, even in our families, you know, let's bring it home a little bit closer. In our families, are you the one that's always, because you can be. Because we're very capable of being, you know, nothing's ever good, nothing's ever right, don't have any fun in this family. You know, the boys know that this is kind of a similar thing. We never let the boys say they were bored or we penalize them. I said, I don't want to ever hear yet because we're not bored around here. We got plenty to do. You know, there's plenty of fun, you know, plenty of work, plenty of fun stuff to do. And if they would get penalized in some way, TV time or something. You're like, okay, you just lost 15 minutes of TV time. Guess what? Boys learn pretty quick that they're not going to say they're bored. That's not, and the other one was they could not say, that's not fair. Because they got penalized in that one too. But you know what? In your family, if you're known as the one that's just like always kind of, it's probably because you're not really as thankful as you should be. Because I'm telling you, thankfulness will affect this and this and this and our attitude and the way we view things. Maybe, if you're that kind of person, and maybe, I know some personalities are bent a little bit more toward being negative and melancholy, and I get that, but it doesn't have to stay that way. We can be thankful. We should be known for our thankfulness. Two more thoughts. Our thankfulness should abound. Colossians chapter 2. You only got to go back one chapter. Colossians chapter 2. Out of the Colossians chapter 3, just go back one chapter. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, who would that be? Who's received Christ Jesus as their Lord? Christians, right? So if you're here tonight, you say, I'm a Christian. That's talking about you. So walk ye in him. So walk in Christ. Do what he would do. Do what he wants you to do. Be faithful. And then it says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So your root ought to be in Christ. You should be built on Christ. You should be stable and established in Christ and in your faith and what you believe. As you have been taught. And I know a lot of y'all have been taught. You've had some really good teachers through the years. Teaching you in the churches that you came from, or this church, you grew up in this church, you've been taught right. It says, now here it is, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Wow, abounding. I read something, someone said, you know, we got it backwards. We have one out of 365 days we celebrate Thanksgiving. So I said, really? We ought to have 364 Thanksgivings a year, and then maybe one day, I don't know what he said now, to complain or what, I'm not sure. But anyway, the point was, we kind of have it backwards. This says abounding, not just a wee little bit. It ought to be overflowing. You know, when you say something abounds, that means it's overflowing. It's abundant. So the Bible clearly says that our thankfulness should abound. You know, sometimes I think we've done God a favor sometimes when we just say a little thank you. Thank you, God, for all the blessings of life. Well, that's great, but I don't know if that's abounding or not. If that's the first time you've used that this week, maybe even a day. But again, everything we do, we ought to be thankful, 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 thankful. We ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving. People ought to know us. You know, that so-and-so, they just have a good attitude. They seem to be always be thankful regardless of what they're going through. Last point. Our thankfulness should be consistent in good or bad times. Now, how many of you, this is an official scientific survey, I'll write the I'll write the exact numbers down, and we will send it to whoever keeps these statistics. How many of you think it's easier to be thankful when things are going well? Okay, how many of you think it's easier to be thankful when things are going bad? It would seem to me that human nature tells us that it's easier to be thankful when things are being doing good. You know, it's like, oh, thank you, Lord. I had a beautiful sunshiny day. Everything's good. But when the furnace breaks down, the car breaks down, I tell you what, by necessity, I'm becoming quite a mechanic. Not really. I'm joking. But when you got all these things breaking down, and Bruce has got a broken down AC unit, but he doesn't worry about it because of getting into winter, right? But when things break down and things go wrong and your cat dies, and I'm not making fun of cats dying because I like animals and cats, we get attached to them. But things like that happen. You have a flat tire. You know, they're mean to you somewhere, and this just seems like everything's going wrong. And it's sometimes harder to be thankful. But notice Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Just two more verses, I believe. Ephesians 5:20 is one of them. Ephesians 5:20. Our thanksgiving or our thankfulness should be consistent in good or bad times. You know, really, if you think about it, our thanksgiving to God ought to be because of God and all that He does, more so than what happens to me on a minute-by-minute basis. Do you see what I'm saying? Rather than being thankful because of the situation, which we should be, but it's really based upon more than that. It's based upon my relationship with Jesus, right? God's always good. Ephesians 5:20, it says, almost done, giving thanks, there it is, always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me read that again, okay? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our thankfulness shouldn't just be when things are going great. Our thankfulness ought to be all the time. All the time. That's tough, but it ought to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Last verse, good Lord willing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, in these short exhortations found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, a lot is said in very few verses. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. It goes beyond, below what we're going to look at. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, like this, boom, 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 boom. Notice what it says in verse 18. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I'm not really quite sure if it's saying that it's God's will that we're thankful, which it is, but I'm not sure if that's the point of it or whether it's saying, regardless of what you're going through, God in His will has allowed it to happen, therefore give God thanks anyway. It really could go either way. It's pretty, I think both, probably I'd probably say that both of those are true. But you know, there's really horrible things that sometimes happen to us. But is God letting that happen to hurt us? No. To teach us, to train us, to mature us, to grow our faith. And I'm thinking of a verse in Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things, there's that all again, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So when bad things, I mean even horrible things happen, we have a God, again, our thanks is based upon our relationship with God. Ultimately, we have a God who has everything under control. And we can even get to the point, we should get to the point, that we're thankful to God for everything we go through. Good or bad. Good or bad. Now, as I've reflected back on my life, there's been some difficult times in ministry. But I have gone back and I thank God for them. And that's tough. And I'm not saying that the day after something bad happens to you, you're ready just to, absolutely. And you might be able to do that. But sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to kind of, okay, now I'm thankful. You know? But we really can thank God in all things. Y'all agree with that? Now, it's not just words. I mean, it's true. Now, I'm going to give you a real practical application. What if a bunch of liberals get elected on this coming Tuesday? Now, we're not liberal. We're conservative. We're biblical conservatives. Any which way you look at it, we are conservative. So what if it's a sweep that all the liberals across our country win? And I'm praying that it doesn't happen. I'm praying that it doesn't happen, and that's okay. And I'm praying that nobody cheats. But what if it happens? Is our God still worthy of praise? Is our God's throne moved? Can we still thank God that, hey, he's still in control and he's going to turn everything into something good? Absolutely. Tough, but we can do it. Be thankful. Be thankful. Tonight we've talked about be thankful. I found this in Everything Be Thankful. I thought this was a pretty amazing story. Once a Christian leper in India was heard to pray. A Christian leper, someone with leprosy, in India was heard to pray. I thank God that he laid leprosy on me because of the lepers I have been able to lead to Christ. Wow. That's something, isn't it? He saw his leprosy as part of God's saving plan, that the souls of the lepers might be washed white in the tide of the Savior's blood. God had permitted him to become a leper. Wow. That's something else. Tonight, we've looked at several things. Be thankful. Be thankful. There's four words in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and be ye thankful. The connection between peace, you'll have more peace and calmness in your heart and life if you're thankful. Our prayers should include our thankfulness. Third, our day should be filled with thanks. Number four, we should be known for our thankfulness. Number five, our thankfulness should abound, not just a wee little bit. And number six, our thankfulness should be consistent in good or bad times. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, if you would. Let me ask you. I'm going to ask you six questions. Six questions. And let God speak to your heart tonight if there's something in there that the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, you can work on that a bit. Question number one, does your attitude of gratitude contribute to the peace that you have? Does your attitude of gratitude contribute to the peace in life that you have? If not, maybe talk to God about it a little bit, would you? Because if your peace is lacking, there could be a chance that it's lacking because of your lack of thankfulness. Question number two, in your prayers, could you be more thankful to God? In your prayers, could you include more thanks to God in your prayers? If God is saying, yeah, talk to God about it a little bit. Ask him to help you to do that more. Question three, is your day filled with thanksgiving? You know, it's more than one day a year. Is your typical day filled with thanksgiving? If not, talk to the Lord about that. Question number four, are you known for your thankfulness? Are you known for your thankfulness? There's a bunch of stuff you could be known for. But when your name comes up in conversation, do people just kind of think of that word, thankful? If not, talk to the Lord about that. Question five, does your thankfulness abound? Does your thankfulness abound? question. Is your thankfulness consistent? Is your thankfulness consistent? That is, do you remain thankful in bad times as well as good times? If you struggle with that a bit, why don't you talk to the Lord about it? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you're here tonight, if you're listening in and you're lost, let me give you something really, really, really huge to be thankful for. Be thankful that the offer of salvation is still open. The offer of salvation, the invitation to be saved, even tonight, is still open. I'm convinced that it's going to close. The last person at some point is going to be saved in this age of grace. I wouldn't want to chance it. I'd encourage you. Trust Jesus tonight as your Savior. If you're listening in and need to be saved, would you from your heart and mean it? That's the important part. From your heart and mean it. Would you call out to God and say, God, would you please forgive me of all the sins, all the things I've done wrong against you? Would you tell God in prayer, I believe Jesus was your Son who did die upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And would you tell God in prayer that you confess Jesus as your Savior, as your leader, as the one you're going to follow for your life? If you just did that from your heart and meant it, called out to God and meant that, you are saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this topic tonight. Thank you that Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 addresses it in, be ye thankful. Lord, help us to truly be thankful. Listen to your word, and Lord, have that attitude of thankfulness all the time. We pray. What a testimony that is to a lost world. And we pray this in Jesus' name.